Okay, so we're continuing a shot at Cheney. Picking up where we left off last week. We're on page Lamed Beis. Just give a not so quick review. Last week we spoke about how do you take a bridge between your mind and your heart? How do you bring what you know and actually bring it to your heart where your emotions are guided by it? So we spoke about, so we spoke about the how the mind guides the heart, and it's and the mind is cold and calculating, and the heart is emotional and excitable, and there's two different functions that it has. The mind looks and searches for the truth, but in order for the heart to feel the truth, it has to have God, it has to understand it very well. That's das, okay,
air conditioning working.
So how do you do this? How do you get there very quiet?
What are you doing?
Okay. I'll call upon him. Okay, so we spoke about that. We wrote a Gemara, some for whoever wasn't there last week. It's a Gemara that says like this, says the Talmidim Rebbe Chaim Mezakeh came to visit him. He was Rebbe Chaim Mezakeh is one of the biggest Tanaim that we have. And he was Berlavaki, he was passing away, and they had asked him for bracha. So he said that they should bench you, your Yerushalayim should be afraid of the Eibushter as you're afraid of a bus of a dumb. So there was a surprise that seems to be very on a low level. To see, is that Yerushalayim like a bus of a dumb? He says yes, because when a person does an Aveir Rahman Aslan, he always says that nobody should see me. So he says, Halavai, a person will start from there. And if he thinks Hashem is always watching him, so then somebody's watching him, he says somebody's seeing him, so then he won't do it. So he says, use the Lashon for the Vai. Halavai, you have that. What's the point? But Rabbi Yechon Mazaki is teaching us, we have in ourselves every person naturally, when he knows he's doing something wrong, something shouldn't be do, he hopes nobody's watching him. Or that stops him from doing it if somebody's watching him. So same thing, he says, now that you know that you have that, now apply it to the Eibushter, that now the Eibushter is watching you, so don't do it either. So that's the guidance that the mind shows the heart. So together, but so in other words, it's not enough also, second point is, it's not enough also just to have a passing thought of understanding it. You have to that means you're connected to it, you're thinking about it constantly until that meter, that emotion gets born from the heart. So if you look on Perek Beis, this is what he does here too. What he's doing, in the whole Perek Beis, he's talking about how do you have betachon on a person? Well, who wants to have betachon on a person? We don't have betachon on a person. He's actually going to finish up. They can have betachon on a person because none of these things apply. So why is he even bringing it here for? What he's doing is, if you go to each one of them, he's actually showing you that in order for you to have betachon on a person, these are the natural, emotional, you have to know about these, about the person, before you can trust them. So once you know you have that, now just take it and apply it to the Eibushter. That's what he's saying. So I said the first one, always the first one, that in order, before you can trust anybody, you have to know that the one you're trusting has rachamim, chemla navatiyu. He has a chmanas on you, and he has empathy to you, and he has ava to you. Because if a person doesn't have that, you will never trust somebody to do something for you. Why? Because you're going to bother him. Okay, I see. Let's learn this one more time, because it takes a few minutes to read. You read it a million times. Page lamed. Because a person, when he knows, the person is, he has a chmonis and has empathy. Yiftach b'ev yisnuch nafshi olav, he will trust him, and his nefesh will be tranquil, calm. B'chol mash yatichem, everything that he was bothering the person from doing. So since he's about to bother somebody, he knows before he bothers somebody, the other one, the world allows him to be bothered because he has rachem chamtzim. The second one is that, you know, so what he's doing exactly what the Bechen Mazaki did, but Yira, he's doing by B'tochen. He says the same, right? He's making mamash relatable. The same way, in order to for you to trust someone, you know, you can only trust someone that you're going to bother him, you're going to trust only someone who knows Hazrach Tamla. So now just apply that knowledge or that feeling to the Eivishter. That's what he's going to tell you to do. Vashenis, Shiyah Yedebim, Vashyaft. The second thing is with that. He doesn't hide from him, but he's not lazy in doing the payfits of the Beteach. Okay, if you look over here, I do want to. You see every single step over here, you'll see, to answer the one verse of the question, you see every single one over here, there is a need, there is something you're bothering about him. If you say Beteachum means that you're just accepting what is being done, then this language doesn't fit, because he's saying the reason why you have betachon is because you know you can bother for something, and you know that the person that you're trusting is not mas'atzel v'chevse. He won't be lazy in doing what you want. He knows that the one you're trusting is going to be mishtadl and he's mas'atzel to do it. Okay, so again, how do you bridge between the mind and the heart? So he's telling you, since you have this in your heart, now just guard your heart, open up your eyes, understand that your feelings about bothering somebody or you have to know that the other one, the one you're trusting, won't be lazy, and he knows that, he knows that the one who you're trusting is mishtadl or maskim, he's masking to do it. Why is masking to do what? What are you asking him to do? And that's why you come, because he will do it. You see, so you say he's clearly explaining B'tochen as now. B'tochen comes after Munna. He's not talking about B'tochen in a person. B'tochen in a person, and and later he's going to say that all of this relates to the Eibishter, right? And he's being lies. But he's make what he before he gets to the Eibishter. If we're going to talk about B'tochen by Hashem, it's going to become a seichel conversation, an afsa conversation. You'll try to understand the thing as it is in the world of seichel, of intelligence, and you can get lost, and you'll think maybe in the world of intelligence there, with my heart I don't feel it. So he's coming from another way. He's saying, let's understand the person by people. How do you trust a person? First, you have to know that you're going to bother the guy. So yeah, before you bother the guy, you have to know that he's going to allow himself to be bothered for something because he has rachmanis on you. He also has ava to you. Because it's ava, he's not going to be lazy. He's going to do what you're asking him to do. So the means is an ask. Because if not exactly clear to him, then his betachon cannot be complete. Because he knows that he'll hide and he's lazy. When he gathers together, and the one you trust, these two midas, and he has a great detailed involvement in your life, you'll definitely be betechen him. Okay, that's the second one. Now he says the seven causes to trust in the one in the person. What's the third one? The third one is yichazik. The person is strong enough to do it. He will not be overcome by from doing what he wants to do. That means you're trusting somebody to do something, and if he wants to do it, he can do it. He's strong to do it. There's nobody that can stop him from doing what? The bakash is a betech. Again, you see, betochen here means there's a betech or is a bakash a betech. There's a bakash going on. There is a request that the betech has, and he knows that because the one he's trusting is able to do it, nobody can stop him. Because if he's weak, even though you have the first two, that he knows that he's merachim, he has a chmanas on him, he's mashgiach. Because he knows that this person can be stopped. When you gather together these three midas, so far, so good. So you can see every step of this way so far, you see clearly that the Shah B'tochen is going with on the pathway that B'tochen means you're trusting in someone to give you this avakosha sabateach, you trust him to do it because he's rechmonos on you, because he's involved in your life and he can do it. Okay? But it is. The fourth one is Shayir Deb Afne Te'el Sabateach Alof. Now, it's not enough. That he's able to do it, but sometimes a person could want to do something and it comes out bad for the person. So you have to know, he has to know that the one who's doing it knows what's good for him. It's not hidden to him, what's good for him, and it's hidden or revealed. What's good for him? Because he doesn't know this, because it's possible for the one who's trusting to do something in a way that's not good for him. So now you gather together all these four. He knows what's good for him. He's a chol to him. He can do it. And he has very much involvement. So then his betach will be strong without a suffering. That's about where, that's the rehearsal. Now let's go on to the new one, the fifth one. The fifth one, six and seven. Let's try to do it tonight. The Hamishis, the fifth one actually is, I think you can see it's very fundamental because here's the first time that he's going to, the first time that the Shai B'tochen is going to tell us that B'tochen is absolutely a Chayvus. Do you have a Chayvus to have B'tochen? It's right here. And he divides it like this. He says, Hamishis, say, what is he searching for? He's trying to understand what are the seven causes that you know the one you're trusting has, and for that reason, you're trusting him to give it to you, and you're so sure he'll do it for you that you're calm. He'll give it to you, right? What do you have to know about him? You have to know about him, all these things. What's the fifth one you have to know? He says, meaning, if you're missing any of these, obviously you can say you trust him, but the trust won't be full. You may not have a complete lack of, because there could be problems there. Say the one you're trusting is the one that has always been, has been misyachet. He was the only one in taking care of the one who's trusted. But Teyach is the one who's trusting. And the one who's trusting has always been there from him, for Tchilas of Yosef, from his first creation, when he was conceived and born. Until the end of his days. He's with him. Okay? Now, imagine the one you're trusting, it's not just you're taking an arbitrary person, and saying, I know the person likes me, and he has avid to me, and he knows how to do it, he's able to do it, and he knows how to do it, right? No, more. That the one you're trusting actually is someone that has always been there for you. Right? Now suddenly he says, look at this. If this becomes, when this becomes clear to the Veteyach, Yischayev Shetanuach Nafshi Olav, you become obligated to trust him. If I can remind you, in the Chumash, the Eibishter took it out of Mitzrayim. Remember the story? He took it out of Mitzrayim, right? And he gave him one, and he gave him more, and he spoke to the Yamsuf. And what was going on over there? And then they covered. It was wonderful. And then Eden said, is Hashem with us? What did Hashem do? Right? A mother came and bit him. What's the marshal? There's a father is taking care of a child, taking care. And the child sees something, okay, where's my father? Well, oh yes, let me tell you. He threw him down, and the dog came and bit him. They knew who his father was. This is a little bit like over here, what's going on here. If you know that the one you're trusting has always been with you, you're obligated to trust him. You can't say, but on what basis you're not trusting him? That means not trusting him is sort of an insult or
They didn't trust him at that point.
Yes, can we?
Was it really the Eirav Rav? Was like everybody? Why you trust him?
No. But all these. Obviously, I just shows you the weakness that shows you the weakness of a person's brain and a person's heart that he can keep on giving exactly. He doesn't think of what's going on. He can be so foolish.
I hate to say this, but we're doing the exact same thing.
Not the same thing, Leah, because there was open.
Here it's all hidden, but it's really open.
We also have open this every day, and we still have a hard time.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That we're
so this is
the shoulders of all those years of.
But they were literally like ensconced in Hashem's, like, you know, clouds. Like they technically, like they should have been.
So maybe the answer is right here. When this, all this becomes clear to the Betech, Yischayev, Shetzenuch Nafshi Yalev, now becomes obligated that his Nefesh should become in a state of tranquility on the one he's trusting. And he's talking about a person right now, right? Why? He tices out, Bavur. Mashakodim lay Olav Minatevus Eitfes, for all the good he's always done. So he writes that to the story, Hashem has done this for you, and this, and this, and this, and this. And then, but then you argue back. But right now, I find myself in the problem. Right now, I'm trusting him because I'm missing something. So you're telling me to trust him for what he did until now. It was wonderful. Thank you very much. But right now, I got a problem. Right now, he's not giving me what I need. So he tells you, I'll tell you this, I must meet this, and for the constant good he's doing right now also. And he says, and this is where we throw this word in. Doesn't say is it mechayev b'tcheli, but doesn't say mechayev. His trust name says v'yi is a mechayev. This obligates. This will obligate cheskas b'tcheinei boy. This will obligate his a strengthening in his betachon. So you see over here, there's a weakness and needs strengthening. What's the weakness? I can share the story with many of you, but just for I think it says it's just a life experience. I was in a place called prison once upon a time. And they wanted me to be there for 27 years. And then on the sixth year, somebody asked me a question: is my betachon stronger or weaker? What do you think I should have said? Stronger. Stronger. Because I'm a wise guy, I say this is stronger. But he was doubting. He was saying, how can you, if you have one let down, another let down, another let down? So what point is it becoming weaker? So that's how you're supposed to bridge between your mind and your heart. You're supposed to think about it. And you're supposed to think about those thoughts that can impress upon your heart. So he says like this, think about all the good Hashem did. Okay, so that's good. And he's also still doing good right now. Right? And everybody can do that in their life. Everybody can point in their life. For example, myself, I pointed out that I woke up every morning, I got Hashem's healthy. Baruch Hashem, nobody's beating me up, and it's a dangerous place. Baruch Hashem, he's not davening for me. People are sending in necessary things I needed to defend myself. People are my family's going through. I just started, Baruch Hashem, well, I started identifying all the, everybody's busy with thank you, everybody's busy, but there's an organization called Thank You Hashem, right? So they're busy saying, you say, thank you Hashem, and thank you Hashem for this, and thank you Hashem for that. And write down all the good things Hashem gives you, right? But I think we can add to that point. What can you add? Every time you see Hashem tells Hashemidus, you see that Hashem is with you. Because the Torah tries to challenge. You say, hey, the good he did for you was once upon a time. And for then, as it was going good, you take him chayiv to say thank you. So you bring me a life from Mitzrayim, even going out of Mitzrayim. So Yeshua said, thank you. They had no business asking where is my father, because the father was carrying them on the shoulder. But what happens when a person is going through a tzara? A person is going through a tzara. A person is going through a problem. So now it seems like the one he's trusting is not being mashgiach on these things. He's not liking him. He's something stopping him. But what's going on? So he's telling you, if you want to be mechazik your betochen even during time of a challenge, so you have to know that the one you're trusting has always been there good for you. Check. So that's, you have to have trust in him for the good that he did and he's doing right now, because every person in their life will find that Hashem is doing here good, here good, here good. Now, but the thing is like this, things that happen to good people don't think about much, because that's it comes out of the way. It becomes natural, right? It comes normal. That's how it is. Chas v'shalom, right? It's where the problem is that draws our attention, especially when the problem is an overwhelming problem. When a person, for example, is in a state of, if God forbid, he needs I was a physical prisoner, a person waiting for a shidduch, a person is waiting for children. I mean, the problem is so big that even all the good things seem to be small, and that seems to say, okay, but Rabbi Bach is teaching us, Don't do that. Don't fall into that trap. Don't ignore the good Hashem is doing, not because only because he's not saying thank you to Hashem, but more so, see that as Hashem is helping you. Hashem is with you. Hashem never ignored you. Hashem ignores a person that gets a pretty bit. So Hashem is with you. Hashem is, so you find those things in life that you see is here's good, here's good, here's good. Here, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is there. So I say to myself that the same way Hashem is good for me and all these good things, Hashem will be good for me in the beginning also. So that's why he puts in the word cheskas b'tchein. That's why he's adding the word cheskas, because now I'm a chazik myself. A person is in a place where there's a problem. The problem is very big and it's overwhelming, and it could try to sink a person to thinking that Hashem has abandoned him. And the previous things don't exist. So he says, don't do that. The fifth one is, you have to know that Hashem is with you. How do you see as with you? Because look at the good that he is doing for you. Here, 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 and here. And now take the chizuk and say to yourself, he's been with me always. And even now he's with me. And the same way he's with me for the smaller things, he'll be with me for the big thing also. Okay, so in the context I told this guy, I said,
Tzara, with what we said before, that Hashem created you, Hashem knows what's good for you. So this Tzara that I'm in is what Hashem believes is good for me. Even if I'm
yeah, happy, but Hashem, but yeah, but,
how do I trust him?
Okay, well, that's a different question though.
Yeah.
What he's saying is, When Hashem gives a person a challenge, it's not, it's supposed to be best for him, that's the amunah that's best for him. But Hashem also wants the person, because that tzara is in this world, a person going through a problem it interferes with his ability to serve Hashem. Hashem tells us, even though it's being done in a way that's good, but it's a hidden good. You can't see it's good because it's actually interfering with what you're doing. So you have the koyach to daven, and the betachon should turn it around. Hashem should accomplish what we want to accomplish without all the pain. You say it every day. There's a famous story. I don't know what's came to my mind. It's a new story. There was the Tzemach Tzedek was a third of Avshir, and he was feeling tish once. And suddenly he says a story like this. There was a chassid who owned an inn. He owned a piece of property and he rented it out to another chassid. And that chassid, I think, was a chassid of the Rujan. It could be also. I forgot what all the tzaddik was. Anyways, the guy had a problem paying his bills, and they came end of the month, he wasn't paying the guy's money. So he sent him a eviction notice. So he ran to his rebbe. And the Rebbe said to him, they said to the Rebbe, I have to save me. The other guy wants to kick me out. So they never called the other guy in. So we could be the same chassidus. The same chassidus saying the story. So he got this. So the extent is, he brought this other chassid in. And he told him, I'll cross him, we'll give him more time. Okay, they never asked. So he did that. Goes by another year. And again, the guy doesn't pay the payments. So again, he sends an eviction notice. And again, the Rebbe calls him in. He goes to the Rebbe, they calls him in. And again, he pushes it off. And then I think it happened the third time. I don't know these stories exactly how many times it happens. You can figure out yourself. At one point in time, the guy lost it and he kicked the guy out. Another yid. So after 120 years, the same is saying the story. It says after 120 years, the guy comes upstairs and they want to punish him. How do you take a Jew and throw him out of his house? So he said, he owed me a lot of money. Had to make the payments. So he said he demanded, he wanted to, so this guy, it seems like this chassid was a smart man, and he said, you malachim up here have no idea what money is. You have to go downstairs here and ask people down here what money is, and they should tell you how important money is, how did you can't live, because they try to give us all song and dance for money, so money fair. I said, you know what money is, come down here. So the Tzemach Tzedek was talking to the Chassidim and said, what do you guys think about it? So the Chassidim realized that this is absolutely started playing itself out right here. They all said he's right that he should not be punished for what he did. My point is, I want to make you a story where there's the way it's seen Lamaila and the way we see it down here. You know, Hashem wants us to ask him for the way we see it, the way we feel. So for what happened already, if it didn't happen on a person has to be mekabel and say gamzul teva. But going forward, the person has to always ask Hashem for rachmanus and take away the pain. A person is not allowed to say that he deserves the pain. I think I brought you once in the Mashal, writes, a person says that he's actually Peseach Pel Sotan. A person says he deserves the pain, he's actually causing the Sotan to run upstairs and say, to see the person himself agrees that he deserves it. And be careful. So together, what should he do? He should ask for Rahmanas. Yes, how do you strengthen yourself for the past? But if a past has been, or he's going through a trouble, a person realizes that this is like a teva. But remember, Hashem gives us a keich, the mumunah betachan, in Hashem, mumunah also. But mumunah for the past, mumunah for the future, with tefillah, ma'asim, teva, we can change it. So unless you feel very holy and you're willing to go along with all the pain, which also some people do that, but if you're on that level, you're good. But some people are on that level, and that's why Hashem gives them the betachon that they should be able to change it. It should be, I mean, Hashem should be able to accomplish what he wants to accomplish without all the pain. That's basically what it's all about. Does that answer the question?
And I think that sometimes young, like, younger teens or whoever that struggle with betachon, when he talks about that you should recognize that Hashem was always with you since you were young, whatever it is, I think sometimes that if their experiences when they were young, they didn't feel that sense of Hashem for whatever reason, it's hard to look back at whatever place they are now and say, well, Hashem was always with me. Therefore, it's like if you don't have that strong
foundation, the time to do that sometimes.
But even later, if they go on and they didn't have that experience or that child.
You always make it sound as if these problems are like some modern day plague or something. You know when this was written?
Right.
Yeah, the life wasn't nicer than it was happening right now.
Okay.
they weren't wondering if they should buy this type of scooter or that type of scooter. That wasn't the situation.
So how
does his
answer if you should
send a child with seminary to go to? The big problem was that wasn't the problem.
They had there are children with rough childhoods. That's what you're
right.
trying to say.
Okay. So again, obviously.
Their
back childhoods
to the child.
No,
but
even
say
it. There's
a child.
You know, Taylor speaks generally on what's basically happening. Unless you have a very bleak look on humanity, but most people go through a childhood that's normal. I mean, there are people that want to convince it's not so because for the reasons they have, but most kids grow up and they realize, yes, they had good days, they had bad days, but they grew up and they're in the world and have the ability to serve Hashem. So doesn't mean that if how can you say he's always been there with me because I fell down from the bike and I scraped my foot. Well, I had a teacher give me a slap.
No, I think that there's a lot of things that are
I'm asking.
And I don't think that, and they got through very challenging things. I don't think
let's keep it simple, yes. Right? There are, but would you agree that most children can relate to this, yes?
Well, of course.
Okay. We passed that. Now, let's go to the slices of that. So now, how does a person who didn't have it like that, how does he deal with it? Okay, so then you go back. Take an example from Avraham Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu. He had hard childhoods also, but the hard childhood does not mean that it was meant to punish. He says in the Shah B'chin that a child will go through painful experiences in order to teach him that the world is a rough place. It's not a fairyland. So be careful from dangers. There are certain situations that need a little bit more specific, but this is generally speaking, it works. So that a person could look back and he realizes that he survives. He got through the younger child a very very very, how do you say it? Vulnerable years of a child. He grew up. He's mature. By design, no child goes through fairly. I mean, I'm trying to tell you, every child goes through ups and downs. Every child goes through sicknesses. Every child goes through painful of being mechunach. Adam per Adam evolved. The person is created like a wild donkey, and a wild donkey, when you get him going, you have to punish him. You have to get him on the right track. But this is all part of education. But at the end, I got to tell you something. I got the Jewish people from prison. I made a point. I called a lot of my teachers. Not everybody, but a lot of my teachers. I called them and thanked them for the good education I got. Because I realized that a lot of the strength that I had to go through it came from school. Where it come from? That I realized before, maybe not. But just to say that they didn't tough me up nothing. They gave me the right ideas about life, how to understand things. I really that's not funny. I said the story of my Shabbos and his grandson was there. He was one day, poked his grandson was sitting there. So I felt good about it.
Yeah, and just to add, I think the foundation, a lot of times when we talk about a person has built that foundation when they're very young through their experiences. So then when they get older, they really go through big sins, they have something to fall back on, and they can look back and say, oh, Shem was there with me then. I'm going to get through this also. But if a person didn't have that foundation...
For the past.
Do you mean like a supportive childhood where they felt supported and... You know, you have these teens at risk, they're angry, they were abused or whatever. They didn't feel like they had that kind of childhood that they could look back in and say, wow, I shouldn't really. I think as parents,
it's our job to frame it like that.
Right, but she's saying that some children, unfortunately, didn't.
You can only deal with your own kids.
Right,
you
she's
deal
with bringing up a question.
I'm just saying that I think that so much of the foundation of Bitzachon of
okay, I don't think he's saying over here that he had a perfect childhood without any problems. He's saying that the one he's trusting has been with him throughout the whole ordeal. That's what he's saying. And I want to punctuate. If you go back to Shabbat Chini, it does say that a child will go through good times and hard times. Hard times are meant to teach him something. We're making hard times in childhood as if it's the worst thing in the world. It's not necessarily.
It's excuses.
Okay. Yeah. But let's use the same logic for the past. Yeah, there could be areas where it could have been easier and better. But you can't let those few areas and take away from the whole thing that Baruch Hashem you were born, Baruch Hashem you created, you're given the ability to get on your feet and raise your own family. I mean, you can't. Yes, he had a few blips, more than a few blips of contention, but doesn't take away from the fact that your whole life, the one you're trusting has always been there with you. And right now, he's giving you a hard time. My point is, right now, the person going through a hard time, this fact, when he's trusting is, but what he's saying is that because of Tessa Masmidis, because he's doing good, you can call yourself, the same is helping me here right now, helping you there too. Somewhere, somebody has to come to the realization that what happened to him in the past, there's a lot of things that he, but he looked at it as a terrible thing. He could have maybe looked at it as more of a learning curve, but shaped him or made it or prepared him. I'll give another story. Here's another story, but these are, you know, but the time here. This is a story that one of the Tamide from the Maggid, I think I got it right. He was a Yosem as a child. I said this story a long time ago. I wonder if you remember. But this just shows you. So the storyteller saying the story, and he's saying there was a holy Rebbe. If I have it right, the Schnabla, I'm not going to put names. I shouldn't have said them either. He was sitting at night and learning, and then somebody suddenly showed up in the shul. Could easily be mistaken as Eliyahu Navi. He offered to learn with him, Gemara, and this big top one Tamid Amagid said, I can't agree to your offer until I ask my level. The next day, he went to the Amagid. The Amagid asked him to describe him what this person looked like. And when he described him, he says, he's not a tzaddik, he actually has, he's a samach mem himself, and he came to fool you, to teach your tate in the wrong way, so we should pull you down. So when he comes in tomorrow, tonight, ask what happened, just scream on him, get away, and he'll leave. Then he asks him, where did you get the strength to say no? That's the real part of the whole story. Where did he get the strength to say no? Yes, this is Rebbe first, because it would seem a no-brainer. You're sitting alone at night. You're a holy Jew, a guy shows up, he looks holy to you, say, yeah. Where do you get to say no? So here's his story. His story is, as a young child, he became orphaned from his mother, which is it was a terrible pain for any child. His mother passed away, and his father married a second wife. And always second wives always wind up beating up kids. I don't know how that works, but somehow that worked. And she was a very mean lady. And one day he says, I came home, he's telling the Rebbe the stories. I came home from Yeshiva, I was hungry, and I looked at the stepmother, made a kugel, the big food, they talk about how much food they ate in a kugel, and she had cut the kugel and some of the pieces out of the portions, there was that many kids in the house. And so he took his portion, and yeah. His mother came, his stepmother comes in, they ask, who ate without permission? So he owned up to the story, it was me. You, bam, slam, bam, yeah. No telephones in those days to call the hotline, but like upon him, he was crying. Baruch Hashem, there wasn't. It wasn't a story. And he kept on crying to his mother, but I took my piece. I'm going to teach you without permission you can't take. That was it. Said, so I see, and then I had some cup. When I was off with a take, I said, without permission, I don't take. He says, so this story. The Rebbe Ragatz was in one of these moods, in a deep samba mood. So one day, Gaboyim tried to show. He had told the story. So he looks up and says, what do you learn from this story? So I forgot what he told him. He told him something. He says, no, you're missing the point. The point is, look how much pain a person sometimes has to go through to save his life later. Right? So this kid had to lose his mother. He had to have a mother-in-law, Macha Shefer. Why? Because if Chas v'Shalom, he didn't learn this lesson on the Rosh Hashanah, when he did 40 years of some of them.
Yeah, many other ways.
Oh, there you go. So if you were God, if you were God, you do differently. I'm asking, But obviously, that's the next story. But if you know, if a Torah teaches you that this is part of the way it works, now I'm asking you, I'm not shutting the conversation down, other than saying, at least we see, and that's the Shabbat Kinder. A child will go to difficult situations to learn, because these lessons have to be learned in life. That's obviously if we think life is made here, the whole part starts off on the left foot. We all start off, life has to be nice, easy, convenient, no traumas, no pain, nothing. And if anything happens, call the doctor, right? But it's not like Adam, the person was created to toil, the person is made to work in a world of darkness and change it. So it has to be world, it has to be dark, it has to be a world, he has to meet the darkness and fight it. If Hashem will do only good, Hashem is running a nice world.
But this story is not always going to see the full picture.
Yes, but that's why some stories allow you to take a little peek at what goes on. But he says in Shabbat Chin, he says a child will go through painful experiences and illnesses in order to teach him that the world has bugs and bacteria and bad people. So he'll realize when he gets older, stay away from people that are just normally when it gets cold, because there are harmful things. If a child will have a perfect childhood, never get fall on his knee, never get an ache of pain, then he'll be better off. So Taylor's teaching you it's not true. I'm not saying go slap a kid up. I didn't say that. But the point, first, you have no right to slap a kid up. But if a child is going through a hardship, what I'm trying to tell you, and I'll tell you some more, that child who is going through a hardship, if you don't just tell him that, he understands it. That's important. I was just telling you. Because the guy who needs to have an easy life to make it, because he's so poor, weak, he'll fall over. That's why he has an easy life. But that child who's going through hardship, you say him, tell him the truth, he'll understand it, because that's what he has that in him. Hashem creates him with that understanding.
I'm just saying that I think that if a child, let's say, in their mind, for this teenager, their father was, whatever word you want to put on it, very cold, punishing, whatever it was, even get to a place where they can look at Hashem, that he's there and he'll always be there for them, that's a big jump.
I think another mistake we're making, he's not saying that every person has to have that in the person's life. He's saying, what does it take to trust someone? If you know them, what you trust in. And actually, this goes back to what we said last week. If you have a problem with this fifth one, perfect, because now you know what to zoom in and work on. If the fifth one doesn't resonate with you because you have that problem, I'm not saying you particularly, but if a person is struggling, like this week we're talking about some people struggling with how do you see the rachamim, right? If this is where you're having an issue, but then you have to work on this. You have to get to the realization that Hashem has always been with you.
But don't you also need to have a certain maturity to understand this, and also a certain amount of life experience to be able to look back? When you look back, you know, when you're 10 years old and you look back, you could be looking at every single bad or troubling thing. When you look back when you're 18 or 20, so somehow life is, you ever have a kid react to you, like or hear the kids talking to each other? When I was little, we went to this and this place every single year when you only took them there once. You know what I mean? Like, your perception changes as you go along, you know? So I think that somehow life looks different at different ages, right? I mean,
that's another point. But I call upon him here, what he's doing is he's giving you, if, even if a person can't find it in his own life, but I'm saying if a person can find it, the fifth one you should try to find, the one you trust has always been there with you and is with you right now. I think the key is now we're talking about a person. Obviously, if a person got beat up, he wouldn't be trusting that person. We're going to shift it over to the Eibishter. We're going to have to understand the Eibishter's actions that he did to me until now. We're talking about another table. So he has to zoom in on this and get and make it work for him. Okay, let's try to do one more. Jesus, I got to leave on time today.
10 minutes.
The sixth one is like this. The sixth one is actually the secret of why Bitachon works. Again, going with the same idea that there's a Bitayach, there's a Tron of trust, and he's trusting someone. Who is that one he's trusting? What happens? If the one who is trusting is, and he needs something from that one he's trusting, so he needs something, he has to make sure he has rachamim, and he's involved in his life, and he can do it, he knows how to do it, he's helping him along the way. But not only that, that actually he's the only one that can give it to him. There's nobody else in the world that can give it to him. You know, the pasuk in Tehillim, it says, in Pei Yud Gimel, Adon Hashem Tishchein Natsach, how long will you forget me? Adon Tashmichein, how long will you hide your face from me? Adon Bach is saying to Hashem, and Adon Hashem, how long will it be that I won't be, I don't have Eitzes in my nefesh to how do I deal with my massive? So the reason attaches the third Adon as an answer. The second Adon is how long will there be Hestapon? Adon Hashem, how long will there be Hestapon? How long will there be Hashem hiding your face from me? So the third Adon is until you are in a matter where you don't have no more Eitzes in your heart, in your mind. When a person is in a matter, he has no more Eitzes, then there can't be Hestapon. When a person knows that there's nobody besides the Eitzes that can help him, or save him. So as long as the person thinks that he has an Eitzah here, he has an Eitzah there, that somebody else can help him, then he doesn't have to be talking. When a person knows there's nobody in the world that can help him or hurt him without the one he's trusting, so what does he do? He trusts totally on the one who can he's trusting, because it's only him. So what does that mean to us? It means to us, again, we started talking about you have to use your mind to understand this and then relate that to your heart, which can understand that nobody can help him or hurt him. Not to do good for him, but it has nezik me'olav, not to push away nezik from him, to lasay besides him. And I give you a mushel. Like I said, because we want to make it relatable, we want to make it something that you can feel or something you can understand. So what do you got to do? He says, also like a servant that is in prison. He's in the pit of his master. When the person feels himself that he is in the domain of the one he's trusting this way, now you're attacking more fitting to trust in him. Why? Because here he's giving you the secret or the secret ingredient to why B'tachon works. When a person feels like he's an Eved Hashem, he's an Eved, and he is like an Eved in a situation where he's in the prison of his master, and nobody can help him. You can visualize it. Nobody can help him. Nobody can hurt him. Nobody can do nothing to him because nobody can get in there unless the master wants it to happen. So who's he trust? Only the master. So this is when a person feels like an Eved Hashem. Remember, you're saying betachem means when you feel like an Eved Hashem, you want to do everything once, and you have a need, and that need is there to serve Hashem, and only He can give it to you. Now, meet the connected me to them. When you give yourself to Hashem, now that's why I'll give it to you. If you're wondering where betachem works, say mitzvah betachem is the conduit through which you can get chesed chinam, because it's not just betachem I'm trusting. You're feeling like an Eved Hashem that nobody in the world, there's nobody in the world that can help you. Imagine what vacancy you have with Eved Hashem. That's the type of vacancy that brings you the issue you're looking for. And Vashivi is Sheyiv Mishibata Cholov, Betachlos Hanadiv is a chesed, the one you're trusting has to be in a ultimate Nadiv is a chesed to give it over and chesed, the Mishiroyle, Mishinah, somebody who's worthy, somebody not worthy. Doesn't stop. That's it. Now he's going to say, whoever has all these seven, only on him we can trust, and we'll continue on Mishnah next week. Okay. Any questions? All questions are answered.
It reminds me
of... Listen, everything we learn it takes work, but again, how do you bridge between the mind and the heart? By asking, by delving, a question is good, because a question... Brings out
the question that if someone doesn't have what to go back onto, nothing relating to Amuna, like someone never had someone ever to trust, and there's nothing relatable about Amuna. Someone never had, let's be first with this, someone never had anyone or like loving them, then Hashem loving them is nothing to become magic, there's nothing relatable.
I find it hard to find a person that doesn't have any bandwidth. I know you theoretically, maybe.
I don't love
that
the way
Hashem
loves
that,
so it keeps like adding to it.
People like that,
but I think that's a lot of people like that.
I think those people are not really having a wide vision.
Your perception.
Right. They're not seeing, I mean, they have a roof over their head, they have clothes on their body, they're getting fed all the time, but nothing means anything because they have this thing.
Nobody ever spoke to them. I gotta say something. You can't repeat it. That's a true story. There's a young man. We have to go. I can't say this on tape. We have to finish this off over here. I'm sorry, guys. Next week, which is Monday night, we'll continue.